We've all heard the term farm to table, but what does that really mean, especially in relation to local restaurants? We're going to talk about that today on the Know the News podcast. Hi, my name is Rusty Turner. I'm the editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and this podcast is brought to you by the newsroom of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Our reporter, Garrett Moore, who among other things keeps up with the local restaurant scene in Northwest Arkansas, is here to talk about a story he's got coming on the weekend about how some local restaurants are incorporating local farms into their businesses. Welcome, Garrett.
Thanks, Rusty.
So first, let's talk a little bit about your story. Could you define what we mean when we say farm to table?
Well, I'll do my best. I think a little bit it's a bit of a nebulous definition, honestly. There's not a one-size-fits-all definition that people use. But in the context of my story, and what a lot of restaurants mean when they say that is they're locally sourcing the ingredients and food that they get and use and serve in their restaurant. So a lot of times that means they're going to be working directly with the farmers and communicating with them. And usually that means that you're going to get ingredients grown fresher or at least closer to the restaurant, and also ingredients that are probably produced by small farms and small producers.
I see. Okay. And so we have a number of restaurants in the area who say they're a farm to table restaurant, that they do source the food locally. So what kind of food are we talking about? Is it mostly vegetables and produce? Is it protein? What are we talking about?
It's a little bit of all that. I talked to the Farmers Table Cafe in Fayetteville, South Fayetteville, and this was part of their mission from opening in 2014. Actually, was to support the local food system by working directly with local farmers to get their ingredients. And they buy seasonal fruit, bell peppers, eggplants, kale, and lettuce, zucchini, squash, and bacon, beef, chicken, eggs, even shrimp from local producers. It sounds like there are a few things, talking to chefs and restaurants, that they're not able to get in the area consistently. But for a lot of things are like those things I mentioned are available.
Okay, you kind of stopped me there when you said shrimp. I guess they're buying the shrimp from a local wholesaler.
Well, apparently there's someone who grows shrimp in a body of water that they have.
Oh wow, so, that's interesting. Sort of an artificial non-oceanic source for shrimp. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So
it's unusual sounding, isn't it?
It does sound unusual. So, and what's the advantage for the restaurants that utilize local farms and local producers? What do they see as the draw for their customers?
Yeah. I think one of the main draws they see is freshness. So often it means that they're getting the ingredients and the food they're going to serve, the produce was harvested as recently as possible to when they're serving it. And so that's one. Flavor is related to that for them. And they see often with the farms they work with, they vet them and see that quality is consistent. So quality would be another. Also, just having a relationship with the farmer, so there's more accountability to the consistency of quality, and they know where the ingredients come from. Another one is, it's a little bit trendy and a little bit of a buzzword. So there's, it's not to say there's always ulterior motives, but there are also, you know, sustainability reasons, and it helps create resiliency in the local food system, where It supports the local economy, and they see it as helping helping community sources of sustenance provide for the community further.
So I'm you know, based on that, obviously these business owners, these restaurateurs believe that there's a market for people who are looking for that farm to table aspect when they're choosing where to go out to eat.
Right. And yeah, and I talked to one farmer who said he's had to go into restaurants in the region and tell them to take his farm's name off the menu because he never sold to them.
Oh, wow.
So that's not a problem unique to Northwest Arkansas. I was a little surprised to hear that that happens here, but that'll at least shows you there's a little bit of a draw as far as marketing goes for some restaurants.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but
yeah, it's something I think as this sort of trend has developed across the country over the last decade, that farmers and restaurants have realized will become a problem. So the ones who were involved in it usually encourage transparency and, you know, contacting the farmers to see where they sell to and things like that, just to check the legitimacy of it. I don't know if you've heard of the TV show Portlandia, but there's a pretty funny episode about a couple who keeps asking into the ingredients that they're eating. And they eventually visit the farm, and in the middle of their meal, by the way, and get involved in a cult and end up being gone for years.
Wow. So I'm not familiar with that TV show, but that's a funny premise there. So now I know you talked to one restaurant that's going farther than just sourcing ingredients for the food they serve, as far as supporting local farmers and food producers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So Chef Matt Cooper at Conifer, he recently opened his restaurant near downtown Bentonville, and it is not completely sourcing all their ingredients locally, but as much as possible locally, then regionally, and most importantly for them, sustainably. And so a part of his sort of mission in trying to support local farmers, he is opening a 200 square foot farm stand at his restaurant that'll sell lettuce, meats, dairy, and dry goods, all produced locally all year and 5 to 6 days a week. And I don't think that's open yet, but that should be opening in the next few months, he said.
So you can go in and have a meal, and then on your way out, pick up some farm to table locally sourced food to take home to prepare yourself. Is that the theory there?
That's the theory. And the restaurant is in a larger building where there's an apartment complex. So I think part of the idea is also to provide local produce for people living in that apartment. I think it would be accessible most of each day to those tenants.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that sounds like a perfect location for that kind of operation, because, so many people who live in densely populated areas, they do grocery shopping, daily, basically because of the location of their apartment and the location of the store. So when there are local opportunities to shop like that, that would be a huge advantage, I think, for those folks living in that area.
Right. And I think it's just a way that Matthew Cooper sees his restaurant could help the farmers he partners with sell more produce, and especially in a way where they don't have to be there
right
all the time, like a farmer's market.
Yep. Very interesting. So any other aspect of the story you'd like to mention?
Well, there are a lot of challenges to restaurants and farmers working together. And I think that's something my story talks a little bit about. It can obviously be expensive, a little more expensive than usual. It requires restaurants to coordinate with multiple sources instead of getting all their ingredients off of a truck delivery. Often farmers don't want to deliver or find restaurants a little unreliable to work with, because they either won't change their menu based on what's available seasonally, or they change it so much that they're always wanting things that that the farmers can't grow. So really a big part of the restaurants that are heavily involved in this that I talked to and for my story really emphasize communication between the two. It sounds pretty common for farmers and chefs to just text each other and be like, you know, I need this week. Mm-hmm. And then the farmers deliver it. Mm-hmm. So not all farmers and not all restaurants are willing or wanting to do that. But it's a pretty interesting movement, and I think you could argue that it produces some pretty good food too.
Yeah. All right. So now, Garrett, as I mentioned earlier, you're sort of our reporter on the food scene. So this story is not the only reporting you do on the food scene in Northwest Arkansas. You also have a weekly feature that talks about restaurants opening and closings. You want to take just a minute? You just want to take just a minute and talk about that?
Yeah. So I write a weekly column called Let's Eat that focuses on restaurants opening, closing in the area, and more and more I'm trying to talk to chefs and different people in the food industry up here about what they do and how they interact with the food they serve. So that's the gist of it, but it's usually posted on nwaonline.com every Friday.
Yeah, it is. It's posted on nwaonline.com every Friday. Also appears in our replica edition through our smartphone and tablet apps, usually page 5 of the B section every Friday, you'll find Garrett Moore's Let's Eat column. And I'd also mention, Garrett, that you encourage folks who know about restaurants opening and closing or changes at restaurants and things like that to contact you and with that kind of information so we can stay as up to date as possible. So how can somebody, if somebody's got some food scene news to communicate with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they could email me at gmoore@nwaonline.com.
And that's gmoore, M-O-O-R-E, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Well, Garrett, thank you very much for your time today. I'm looking forward to seeing your story in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and also looking forward to keeping up with all the restaurant happenings in the area through your Let's Eat column. Thanks for being here today, Garrett.
Thanks, Rusty. It's good to talk with you.
That's just one of the great stories we have coming your way this weekend in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Fayetteville City government is taking another look at how it's spending CARES Act money, COVID relief money, and Stacey Ryburn has a story detailing the changes they may be making. Saving Grace, a nonprofit that serves women ages 18 to 25 who have aged out of foster care, is moving to a new location and will double in size so it can serve more clients. Mike Jones will tell us all about that. Thomas Sicente will preview the Arkansas-Oklahoma State Fair, which will take place in Fort Smith, September 23rd through October 1st. Be sure to check out our weekend editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette as we continue to preview the fall general elections with state legislative and municipal election previews. Of course, we'll have all the details you'll need this weekend about Arkansas's football game with South Carolina. Kicks off at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning in Fayetteville. And be sure to check back with us in the morning, Saturday, for all the high school football results at nwaonline.com. We very much appreciate our subscribers who have access to all of that content, either at our website or on our tablet and smartphone apps. If you're not a subscriber, we invite you to sign up. All you have to do is go to that website, nwaonline.com, click on the subscribe button, and we'll get you taken care of. Or you can call us at 479-684-5509. Again, that is 479-684-5509. We look forward to hearing from you. The Know the News podcast comes your way every Friday. We talk about local issues and topics of interest in the region. So we invite you to come back next week for a new edition. We also invite you to subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, or you can just probably click on a button on your device right now so you can subscribe and never miss an episode. Until next Friday, my name is Rusty Turner, the host of the Know the News podcast, saying so long.